Sacred Space Retreat. I would also like to affectionately greet those who have joined us, who came in late and even throughout the night to attend this weekend's seminar or retreat here. I hope the night has been restful for all of you, so that you are fresh and in good spirits. I also want to greet our internet audience. Hare Krishna, most welcome to join us here in this sacred space of our temple for Vrindavan Chandra. We just had a wonderful, wonderful kirtan by a devotee, Ritasena Prabhu, and are now ready to listen to the Bhagavatam. I welcome all of you, and I hope that during this presentation you will get some further insight into what it requires or what it means to enter into your own sacred space. I believe that what we will hear today, and I hope it will be like this for you, will be like a basis for your first retreat name, retreat day, basis like a grounding, a foundation on which the other things which you will hear will be based upon and find their place. Good. I must admit to you, I'm very sad today because it takes me usually a lot of time to process the fact when someone who's dear to me leaves, and I really, on a human level, miss His Grace Gopi Paranadana a lot. It's a very humble devotee and extremely deep, who for me has been one of the role models to incorporate this most important entry into Krishna consciousness, Dainya. Dainya is when even a highly talented man, and he was so much knowledgeable about Sanskrit that it is really, he could speak in Sanskrit, think in Sanskrit, and he taught Sanskrit in his own school, but he felt himself just so much in need of blessings and help. He really was thinking of himself as a wretched soul. He used this word even in conversations. And, imagine that a disciple of Prabhupada living in Govardhan, directly at the site of the most sacred place which our acharyas have coveted. He had a permission, he had an entry there, and then teaching Sanskrit in order that his spiritual masters work to translate into English the treasures of the Vedic scriptures could be fulfilled in generations to come. I mean, this must be a very great soul just by seeing the external circumstances surrounding his life. Oh, Krishna. So, if you see me a little bit sad, that is because of that. We also have an announcement to make. Our Siam Prabhu wants to say something.
Yes, actually, put the mic a little more closer.
Oh, thank you, Siam. Although I feel wretched, and the things which come out of my mouth will most probably not be something else than that. Yes, really. Krishna, Krishna. Okay, this might be better. I don't know how you hear it. Here I hear it very loud. Can you hear me? Yes. Sankirtan Prabhu, you are my my presentation. Yes. So we have also an appearance day, disappearance, going from out of this life and coming into this life are locked in separately. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj has his appearance or happy birthday today. So we want to mention this so that there's some happiness also available to us. Good.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Session, because it will lay the foundation, the philosophical foundation for your first day of the retreat. It really is about how to develop a spiritual vision in daily life. Please chant.
Sattvaika
Nishte
Manasi
Bhagavad
Chandra
Masi
Vedam Uparaja Abhasate Sajvaika Nishte Manasi Bhagavad Pashva Vatini Tamas Chandra Masi Vedam
Chinese, please. In full Krishna consciousness, manasi, in the mind, Bhagavat, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vashvavatini, being constantly associated. I'm sorry. Tamaha. The dark planet. Chandramasi. In the moon. Deva. Like. Idam. This cosmic manifestation. Uparaja. Being connected. Avabhasate. Becomes manifest. So, I have to give you a warning. This verse is very difficult to understand. You will really need all of your attention to make it through both the verse and the purport, but it is essential for your spiritual life. It will really only work if you really now give your best. Whatever you have understood in Krishna consciousness, just bring it to the table and listen carefully now. This is a very powerful verse, and I will help you a little bit by prefacing the different parts in Prabhupada's purport with a little heading so that you know what he's talking about. It's very interesting. It will describe to you now what does this cryptic word mean, Krishna consciousness. What is the essence of this? Krishna consciousness means... Would you like to know what Krishna consciousness means?
Yes.
So listen. Krishna consciousness means... Now, it is so important that you listen now and get out of this habit of not listening during the Bhagavatam class to the verse and the purport. I'm very serious, but also a little dramatic, I admit. So, Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In such a mental state, in our orientation now, that the devotee can easily observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. In other words, you see the world not like the one-eyed monk from yesterday, but you see it from a perspective which Krishna himself has. You will see it differently. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon. So the verse told us that Krishna consciousness is a level of a different perception. A perception which allows us to see the world and everything around us in the same perspective as the Supreme Personality of God. And the verse says this is not always possible. You can't always see it like this. Just like you can't always see the Rahu, the planet Rahu. You see planet Rahu, do you know when you see it? Full moon eclipse. Then you can see sometimes. So purpose. Now, again, you have to still remain totally attentive. When the lecture comes, when the explanations come, you can relax a little, because that will be much easier to follow. But here you really need to give your best. It has been explained in the previous verse that all desires on the mental platform become visible one after another. You know, first you desire, maybe when you are young, holidays and holidays from school and so on. Then you get older, you desire other things like a bicycle maybe and other things. So usually they become visible one after another. Sometimes, however, an exception will be told to you. By the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole stockpile, the whole thing can be visible all at one time. In Brahma Sanghita it is said, Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. When a person is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his stockpile, the whole compendium, his stockpile of material desires is minimized. Indeed, the desires no longer fructify in the form of gross bodies. Instead, the stockpile of desires becomes visible on the mental platform by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here Prabhupada talks about this embarrassing experience on the path of Krishna consciousness, where it seems that all of a sudden you are confronted with a huge amount of material desires. I'm turning to the older devotees, because the younger devotees always have an experience of everything. But have you seen this? Sometimes after the long time of practice, all of a sudden you wonder, wow, there's so many material desires coming up, so much, let us tell in American English, stuff is still there. This is normal. This happens by the grace of Krishna, where it is shown what it means to be a conditioned soul. In this connection, now an example comes for this. The darkness occurring before the full moon, the lunar eclipse, can be explained as being another planet known as Rahu. According to Vedic astronomy, the Rahu planet, which is not visible, is accepted. So sometimes the Rahu planet is visible in the presence of full moonlight. It then appears that this Rahu planet exists somewhere near the orbit of the moon. So this is the point. This is a dark planet which usually you can't see, like the material desires, the stockpile. In Jungian psychology, this is your shadow. You can't see it. You're blind to it. But sometimes it becomes visible, like this usually invisible planet called Rahu. Now Srila Prabhupada will launch on one of his delightful attacks on modern science. Listen, with a proud smile in your face. The failure of modern moon excursionists may be due to the Rahu planet. In other words, those who are supposed to be going to the moon may actually be going to this invisible planet Rahu. Actually, they are not going to the moon, but to the planet Rahu. It's a dark planet. And after reaching this planet, they come back. You know, from the moon you usually don't come. It's a heavenly situation. Apart from this discussion, the point is that the living entity has immense and unlimited desires for material enjoyment, and he has to transmigrate from one gross body to another until these desires are exhausted. Now Prabhupada talks about this problem of having a stockpile of material desires of which we are not even aware of, just like we are not aware of the planet Rahu. He talks about this. And, no living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated, sattvaika nishte, that when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in one stroke, he is freed of past and future mental desires. Full absorption brings this freedom of past and future mental desires. Then, by the grace of the Lord, everything becomes simultaneously manifest within the mind. So, this thing now, that you are in Krishna consciousness, but there are material desires still visible in your life, and they are made visible to you, is now illustrated by a very delightful example, which Srila Prabhupada takes from the writings of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says, in this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites the example of Mother Yashoda's, seeing the whole cosmic manifestation within the mouth of Lord Krishna. By the grace of Lord Krishna, Mother Yashoda saw all the universes and planets within the mouth of Krishna. Krishna opened his mouth. Everything was in there. Similarly, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, a Krishna conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time and finish all his future transmigration. He sees by the grace of Krishna what is usually a blind spot in his life. He sees all this before him. And then he can finish all his future transmigrations. He has this chance. This facility is especially given to the devotee to make his path clear for returning home back to Godhead. Why we see things not experienced in this life is explained herein. That which we see is the future expression of gross body, of a gross body, or is already stocked in our mental stockpile. I must admit I do not fully understand this paragraph, so I will not give an explanation. I will not try to give an explanation. I'm very foolish actually. And because a Krishna conscious person does not have to accept a future gross body, his recorded desires are fulfilled in a dream. We therefore sometimes find things in a dream never experienced in our present life. No, it's easy. It's there. Usually, you would have to experience these mental desires, which are there, but which you don't see that they are there, in a future time, in a new gross body. But because Krishna wants his devotee back, he gives him an ability, a vision to see all of this stuff, all this darkness which is there, in one full bloom. And now Prabhupada says these desires are fulfilled even in a dream. Are you sometimes dreaming crazy things? This means Krishna relieves you from having to get a new material body where you experience them, these things, these things which are not to be told in a temple room. We therefore sometimes find things in a dream never experienced in our present life. Srila Prabhupada ki. Well, but I was not very convinced. Isn't this a purpose to relish and to tell posterity? Srila Prabhupada ki. Finally, some good emotion comes from you. Yes, this is Prabhupada's genius. This is such a difficult subject matter. Such a Read this text. Read it again and again. I've gone 20 times through this trying to understand. I've marveled about the depths of insights into the most profound spiritual subject matters. It's really amazing. It's really a treasure, this text. Namo Vishnu Padaya. We have done this. We have given our Jai Srila Prabhupada. We have given our obeisances. Good. Today, we will learn a few things in this lecture. And I would like to highlight this so that you listen to this lecture with rapt attention. It's all about how to develop a spiritual vision in daily life. Would you like to have that spiritual vision? Obviously, that's why we joined. So, because some of you were not present yesterday, I will do something which Sankirtan Prabhu has taught me yesterday in elaboration. I will tell you something which happened to me, how I developed a spiritual vision. It was after a surgery 2.5 years back. Yes. Or 1.5 years back. I'm not good at remembering years. I was sitting on the favorite bench at the Zakrauer See, a lake, and just having a few private moments. I was just sitting there to just de-stress a little from the trauma of being put under full narcosis and in a surgery. So I was chanting, I must admit, quite unconcentrated rounds. And all of a sudden I noticed things around me. Animals came around me and sat down. I particularly noted Hubertus. Hubertus is the boar, a wild boar, quite smelly, who sat down, lay down. He's a little tamasic also, only 20 meters away from me. He's very shy usually, except with his own people. And I thought, I've only experienced this in Vrindavan, when you sit and chant under a tree and snakes come and peacocks come and everyone is around you and it's one family who relish the holy name, even though imperfectly chanted. And so, what's going on here? I better chant a little better. And I started to chant better. And all of a sudden, something dawned on me. I could understand that we, including Hubertus, formed one family of living entities because we had one thing in common. We were breathing. I noticed this somehow. We were breathing the same air around us, like people in a bus or in a taxi who go through New York and breathe the same taxi air. We were all breathing. But then it dawned upon me, this was a realization, you may smile about it. I told this already to Jai Krishna. It was a realization which came deeper. I began to understand that technically speaking, we were not breathing because we were not actually aware of the fact of breathing. We were not saying in now and expanding the lungs and out now and contracting the lungs. No, we were being breathed. By the arrangement of the merciful Lord, we, his forgetful living beings in different life forms, were being breathed. I felt more or less like a victim of an accident when the rescue worker, is he called a rescue worker or something like this? The rescuer comes, puts his lips on my lips and start to again inflate my lungs and deflate them so that the mechanism kicks in again and I can breathe again. I felt that the Supreme Lord is breathing all of us into life. He's doing it. I could see all of a sudden a more Krishna conscious version of myself. And then it started. I can only say I could see everything in a very Krishna conscious way. The material energy looked as a divine energy, and why divine? Because it came from God. I could see, as I looked over the lake, sparkles on the lake's water, sparkle of lights, as if the sun was reflected from innumerable mirrors hidden in the lake. It was a cosmic symphony which began to reveal itself, and I could see, even though I had turned away from my Lord and gone into the material energy to fulfill absent-minded material desires, even though this had happened, the Lord had not forgotten me. He was breathing life into me. He was maintaining me. He was and he had given this material energy, and as I looked out, it looked all of a sudden divine. I could see a green shimmer on the otherwise dark trees because the Lord had come. Magashirsha, spring I am, who brings flowers to the trees. The trees were unfurling their little leaves, and now a pastel farbe, I can't speak very good English, pastel, you know, the color of green was all over nature. I could see it's a divine nature of the Lord manifested for an errant living entity like me. And I felt, it's all right. Everything is all right. The Lord takes care. The Lord arranges the life. I don't have to worry any longer. And at this moment, a great, great psychological problem fell from me. It came a little bit back afterwards. I'm certainly still a very fallen person, but I could understand I don't have to worry, I don't have to complain. Everything is arranged by Krishna. He means good in what he does to me. I could understand I don't have to endeavor and work and work and work outside of the arrangement of the Lord. We just have to surrender to his will. I could, you know, not surrender to his will, and then I would be like a person who stops breathing. But after some time, that person would fall from the bench and invariably start breathing again in the arrangement of the Lord. So yes, I can not surrender to Krishna. I can decide to revolt against him and go against his arrangement of the Buddha. But it's better to not block myself to the arrangement of the Lord. This is a profound realization. I don't know how, if you can get it, if you would say, I gotcha. I don't know. But this was what happened, and I became free from worries. So in this verse, Krishna consciousness is described as seeing things from the Lord's perspective. All genuine spiritual traditions have been started by enlightened founders who discovered more or less the same principles, which they then expressed in a language appropriate to their culture. They spoke about becoming, awakening to a level of consciousness which is beyond the ordinary perspective. Now, for instance, the Buddhist tradition teaches you the technique of mindfulness, where you look at people and things and you learn to see it with another mindful perspective. In our workshop, I will teach you a little bit Krishna conscious mindfulness, where this practice appears in our own tradition. Mother Teresa of Avila, a Christian mystic, spoke also about this level of consciousness. She said, in our heart, it's like a castle, and most people don't go into the heart, into the interior of the heart. She wanted to give an example of what it means to come to the level of Krishna consciousness. She said, you have to go into the interior of the heart, the sacred space where this level is available and where you see Krishna and where you see your own soul. She said, nothing can be compared to the great beauty and capabilities of a soul, but we do little to preserve its beauty. All our care is concentrated on our bodies, which are but the coarse setting of a diamond or the outer walls of the castle. She says, we don't live in the soul, we don't live in the spiritual platform, because all we are concerned is about our bodies and what we do. Food, eating, relationships with other human beings, and etc., etc. Entertainment of various purposes. It's a war cry she does, a little fragile saintly lady from the center of Spain, whose war cry has been heard all over the world for centuries. She now says to us, now let us return to our beautiful, charming castle inside and discover how to enter it. Let us now return, no longer material consciousness. We want now to go inside and want to go inside the heart and discover that diamond-like property, the soul and God inside. If you are, who of you is interested in psychology? Only very few. Well, then maybe I shouldn't talk about this. I will talk about this in the workshop. You have to come to the workshop. This is called a cliffhanger. Most of our lives, we are totally unaware of our spiritual life. And I want to tell you now, you Hare Krishnas are in the same category. You are not very spiritual people. You have a chance to be spiritual. But what you do, I'm grabbing you now by the throat. You are often concerned about this and that, and this situation in my life is not perfect. Let me work about it. This is not the issue. The issue is, can you come to the spiritual platform and wake up from the dream? To make it a little bit more clear, I would like to tell you
statement from Søren Kierkegaard. He says that we human beings live in a house with many stories, but unfortunately most of us prefer to live in the cellar where we don't see things in their proper perspective. He encouraged us to get up and come to the spiritual platform. He writes this in a well-recorded book called The Sickness Unto Death. You know this material consciousness. He says, you need to concentrate, it's a little difficult language. Every human being is a psychophysical synthesis intended to be spirit. This is the building. But he prefers to live in the basement, the cellar, that is in the sensate categories, you know, the word of the senses. Moreover, he not only prefers to live in the basement, no, he loves it so much that he is indignant, he's against it, if anyone suggests he move to the superb upper floor that stands vacant and at his full disposal, for he is, after all, living in his own house. We have the opportunity to assess the different faculties of our being. We have the opportunity to come to the spiritual level where we are no longer disturbed by what goes on in the material body, the sickness, the lamentation, the disappointments on the material platform, and so on. We can come to the spirit and from there see something entirely different. I remember when I went first to America, I made it my, I allowed myself one material desire. I wanted to climb on a skyscraper, and I went on the Empire State Building. I mean, not went, there was an elevator, and I looked from above on New York, and that was quite an experience. I saw different things than when I was walking like a little ant on the streets of New York. I felt lofty. And I remembered my childhood when my parents had to bring the fire brigade to bring me down from the trees. I was always climbing on the trees because I wanted to be as close as possible to God. That's what I said to the fire brigade people. I always got up, but I didn't know how to come down. It was so dangerous and so on. One time I fell, and I still have a mark when I fell down from the tree and I lie down and I needed to be rescued. I couldn't breathe any longer and so on. So it's a dream to be in material life. You are not the body. You are not the mind. This is not what it's about. Your physical desires, your physical pains and happiness, your mental pains and happiness, that's not the idea why you're here. You are an eternal spiritual soul, but very rarely do we access this. It's a level of observation. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam which says we must absolutely wake up from this dream to be really Krishna conscious devotees. He says, this verse says, don't try to arrange your material dream too much. I agree, we have to do a little bit that is not so disturbing. But the verse says, when we have a troublesome dream, we cannot relieve it with a troublesome hallucination. You know, that you make an arrangement based on the mind and the body to get out of this. No, one can counteract a dream only by awakening. Similarly, our material existence is due to our ignorance and illusion. Unless we awaken to Krishna consciousness, we cannot be relieved of such dreams. Do you have this sometimes, that you dream and it's an absolutely troublesome dream? Really, something nightmarish? You can't now wake up from it by doing a counteraction within the dream.
You know, I remember once I had a dream where a tiger was after me and running after me, and I ran with a friend away from the dream, and the friend said to me, kick him in between his loins. I said, loins? In the dream. And I turned around and I said, but it was so difficult. How do you kick them when he comes? You know, he's much longer than you. But I had done a little judo experience. So you can just throw yourself on the back, and then when he's over you, you just kick. But I tried it, but it didn't work. He got more furious and he ate me. And then and it was terrible. It was painful mentally to be eaten alive. And then finally, by Krishna's mercy, I was moving so hard in my bed that I started to kick, you know, and defend myself. And I woke up and I was so absolutely happy. Misery was not, did not go by a hallucination that I can fight with this tiger. It went away by waking up. So this is what the verse says. This waking up into the spiritual reality is the goal of our life. To wake up and see, wow, I dreamt I was a sannyasi in ISKCON. Somewhat disillusioned sannyasi over the years. I dreamt I was the body. I dreamt I was suffering because of some disappointment, how the movement of which I thought in purely idealistic terms went when it hit reality of human weaknesses. Wow! It's true what Prabhupada told me. This is what it's all about, you know, to come through our life's journey somewhere there. Now, Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, not Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, I want to highlight this a little, showed how by his mercy this vision from the spiritual platform is possible. You know, remember once his father took an early bath in the Yamuna, and the servants of Varuna arrested him and brought him into the capital under the ocean, the capital of Varuna, as a prisoner. So Krishna heard about this from the friends of his father, who had seen Nanda Maharaj disappearing and drowning in the Yamuna. And he immediately took measures. He went to the town of Varuna, where his father sat next to the Lord of the Waters. And when Varuna saw Krishna, he greeted him so absolutely respectful, with tears of water in his eyes. And he asked, and he said, I so much wanted to see you, my Lord, and have your darshan. Please take your father with you. And after that, Krishna took Nanda Baba with him back to Vrindavan, and all the cowherd men celebrated the success. And Nanda Baba told, you know, my son is not ordinary, he's extraordinary. He came in Varuna, the Lord of the Waters paid his respect to my little Krishna, who sometimes steals butter. That's what Nanda Maharaj thought. So the cowherd thought, wow, Krishna must be something like the Supreme Lord, maybe. And the mind filled with an eager question. we have now association with this Krishna every day. What will happen to us after this life? Will there be a special result? You know, in enlightened society, you think, what will happen after this life with me? What does my future hold for me? Huh? You are interested in this subject. So they wanted to know, maybe, I mean, if Varuna respects him on an equal level, he's maybe something like a demigod, something like a devata, living amongst us in disguise, and when we die, maybe he brings us to his planet. They innocently thought like this. Because we love him and he loves us. So Krishna, who understood this deep, deep, wonderful, this deep inquisitiveness of his own people, wanted to answer this question. It's almost like you know, if I feel that you really want to know how to enter the sacred space, I will tell you things you won't believe. But if I feel you are not interested, I will not tell you these things. It is normal. If Gaura Shakti feels that we all want to know how exactly was it when he stood before Radha Madhava and asked him a crucial question which informed the rest of the life, and the answer he got, he told me once several years ago, you know, then he will tell us. So his people, Krishna's people, wanted to know, where do we go after this? And then Krishna told them, he showed them. Listen, this is so endearing. Krishna brought his devotees to the Brahmachrada. It's like a vast expanse of water which exists in the Yamuna. You can go there today. And Hare Krishna. He first asked them, take your bath. Now this is, those of you who have studied world literature know, this is now the crucial thing. They have to bath. They have to be purified from a certain vision, the mystical bath. Huh? He asked them to take their bath. And while they were standing in this Yamunaji water, he revealed to them two things. First, he brought them to the Brahman platform, the spiritual platform, where they could see his effulgence, which is Satyam Jnanam Anantam, non-material and without any limit. Sages can see this Brahman effulgence when they enter the spiritual trance, and when their consciousness is absolutely free from the modes of material nature. So, from that awareness of the impersonal Brahman, Krishna showed them Krishna Loka. And there the cowherd men saw, who were here in this universe, they saw the Yamuna, they saw Giriraj, and most important, they saw their own Krishna standing in the same form, smiling at them, with the flute tucked into his yellow dhoti, a scarf around his beautiful chest, and this most loving smile. They saw this, and what they saw more, what they also saw is themselves standing around Krishna and worshipping their Krishna, their hometown boy, like they did here. And they cried tears of happiness. Shri Krishna ki jai!
Good, 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 finally.
And what especially amazed them, listen to this, they saw the personified Vedas around Krishna offering their Krishna, the Krishna, prayers. And they knew Krishna is the best. So
So Krishna, this is the point why we tell this, can help all of us devotees also to come to a level where we have him in our hearts. That means where we remember him in this temple of our heart. And as a result, we will start seeing the world in a different way. We will start seeing him from a spiritual perspective, the world in a spiritual perspective, and our misery is over. In this regard, I remember the death of the priest. There was once a priest who followed the path of the desert fathers. He lived in a hermitage in somewhere in Algeria, Africa. And he knew, due to religious fundamentalism, those inhabitants wanted to dispose of the Christians in Algeria or Liberia, some of these African countries. So he knew something which is given to religious people, they feel that they die. Like our Gopi Parananda, a few days before his disappearance, said, "When I'm gone, put my ashes near Giriraj." He knew some death was coming. This is given by Krishna. We have a nurse. I think Jayashri is your good name. You have been in the hospital and you know some people know it's coming now, my dear. You can ask Jayashri if you are interested in this phenomena. So this priest also knew it's coming. I will die. And he wrote a letter which was later found when his body was found dead in his hermitage. A letter said, "Oh, my Lord, please take me to you in a few days and please help me to see the assassinators which will come to take me from this world, to see them from the same perspective as you see them. Please help me to see them as my brothers." Beautiful, isn't it? Later his body was found. He was killed by a dagger, a knife. Next to him this beautiful letter was found. He had somehow been granted by a vision. Oops, I'm seeing the time factor. He had been granted this vision, this spiritual vision. This vision we can practice in our workshop starting at 11 o'clock. I will now finish. I'm sorry, I'm getting so much into the subject. I'm over time, I know. Impossible. We will learn to develop this highly spiritual vision by entering into the second space of the heart. This workshop will be not presented in a theoretical way. We will do exercises, very important exercises, which will make us realize this level, this spiritual level. I request you to take your prasadam right after this and get ready, because we will start at 11 o'clock British time. This means the most exact time. In the workshop area, which is in the guest lodge on the ground floor, you will see there's a space waiting for you so that you can come. Please take your prasadam. Please rest a little bit, because you will enter into deep states of meditation to enter the spiritual space. And I'm very lucky. I'm very happy to guide you there. Thank you very much, and please bear with me. I just couldn't be briefer today. See you very soon. No questions at this stage, because you really have to take your prasadam to be there at 11 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi hai.